Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
On the Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Melissa Cantrilla. I'm your host, and my co-host is Dan Rose. I'm not sure if he can join us today, but we'll see you later. And today is actually our 50th show. That's pretty cool. 50 shows so far. And I'm going to read some statistics later, just tell you like how many people downloaded and listened and things like that. But right now, I'm gonna do a break with Wade the Master Minute, and thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Also, check this out at truthbetoldradio.com.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
We're told in Scripture that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. After Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, we're told that many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." What did she mean by saying, "He told me all that I ever did"?
The answer's clear. He spoke to her about her transgression of the seventh commandment. What was the result? Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus. How can we best imitate the Master? We can also testify using the same law to show sinners their personal transgressions. The next time you witness, use the Ten Commandments as Jesus did, and watch what happens.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo. A small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
It's not just about the manger where the baby laid. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we
It's About the Cross by Go Fish. You can find out more about them at GoFishGuys.com. That's GoFishGuys.com. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see what next I got up for you. I am going to play... this is a song, I think. It's All Praise to God. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
All praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of wonders, power and love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, the God who every sorrow stills. To God all praise and glory. God's almighty power hath made his gracious mercy keepeth by morning, dawn, or evening shade. His watchful eye ne'er sleepeth within the kingdom of his might. Though all is just and all is right, to God all praise and glory. My calling, for death he gave me life indeed, and kept my feet from falling. For this my thanks shall endless be. Oh, thank him, thank God, God with me. To God all praise and glory. Christ's holy name, to God give praise and glory. Ye who the Father's power proclaim, to God give praise and glory. All idols underfoot be trod, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. To God all praise and glory.
From an album called Exalted Worship, and I think it takes actual verses from the Bible and then puts them to music. You can get that with Wretched Radio, wretchedradio.com, and get the thing in whole. That's Exalted Worship, and I'm gonna play another part of that right now. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Prayer of Praise for Salvation. This is, I think, led by Kurt Cameron, and also from the album called Exalted Worship, where you can get wretchedradio.com. And you're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio, and you can check us out, truthbetoldradio.com. TruthBeToldRadio.com.
Give all praise, all honor, and all glory to God. For we are justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How can I ever thank you for so great a salvation?
And that was Kirk Cameron from Exalted Worship. You're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio, and you can get Exalted Worship at betcheradio.com in its whole. And here's another part. This one's called Prayer of Saints, and that's with Kirk Cameron, too. You're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio.
I thank you, O God, because you give me all good things. Because you alleviate and you take away the chastisement that I justly deserve. Because you bestow on me the blessings of soul and body. To you be all glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving forever and ever. I join heaven's chorus and proclaim, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.
And here's Truth Be Told Radio, and that was from Exalted Worship. That was Kirk Cameron reading Prayer of Thanks. And these are excerpts from the Bible that are put to the music. You can find them at wretchedradio.com, wretchedradio.com. And that's great. And here with Listen Up from James McDonald.
Hey, do you ever feel like you're going through the motions? I mean, no matter how hard you try, nothing seems to change. Well, James McDonald has something to say to you, so listen up.
I better figure out some ways to get to God. I'm going to do good works like trying to be good and lighting candles. And how many times am I supposed to say that prayer again? 3 million times. And that's religion, okay? So many people are on the religion program. I hope you're not. And if you're going to be climbing up into heaven and appearing before God on your religion program, that's going to be like a piece of straw in a blazing fire. All right? So you definitely need something different than that.
Look, nothing's going to transform your life any more than getting into God's Word on your own. And that's what Listen Up is all about. If you want to hear James McDonald and Listen Up again, go to listenuptoday.org.
Truth Be Told Radio.
If I have to go through one more online dating service, I may just scream. It's been a nightmare.
I hear that more and more from single women and men Jim and I talk with. It's a dilemma that's a growing concern. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. It's so easy to make wrong choices that'll hurt you and others. Make a list of the godly qualities to look for in those you date. It's so easy to confuse cute with character. Be careful. Be patient. Pursue godliness in your own life and trust God to bring the right person to you. And above all, enjoy your life now. Spend your time and emotion on people you know and love. Don't obsess about men or even about being married. God wants your mind on Him, on living His way, on developing that quality of godliness in your life. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Hi, this is Tony Miano with the Lawman Chronicles and another edition of Ask the Lawman. Last night I posted on my blog at tonymiano.com another testimony of what God did as I stood at a busy intersection in my town holding my 4-foot wooden cross. The Lord gave me the opportunity to share the law and the gospel with two young gang members. And it was just a wonderful opportunity, and I was very thankful to God to have that. Well, someone commented on that blog post. His name is Martin. I know nothing about Martin, who he is, or what he believes, but he wrote this: I read your blog and admire your witness. Well, thank you for that, Martin. Several times you have told people about the law and Jesus. You say you will pray for these people, but never ask them if they wanted to accept Jesus now. Just wondering. Well, Martin, that's a good question, and it's a question I've been asked often. Sometimes this is referred to as closing the deal, so to speak. You've shared the law and the gospel with someone. What do you do next? There's that uncomfortable moment. There's that pregnant pause when you wonder, should I say any more? Should I ask the person if they want to pray to receive Christ? What should I do? Well, early on in my Christian faith, when I would share the gospel with friends or family members or co-workers, I would often ask them at the end, would you like to pray a prayer and ask Jesus into your heart? And a number of times I've led people in prayers where they would follow along with me and make a profession of faith in Christ. I could say, sadly, that just about every person I can think of with whom I've done that are not walking with Christ now. Why is that? Well, I convince them at either an emotionally high or low point in their life that if they would pray this prayer, if they would simply ask Jesus into their heart, if they would accept Jesus, then they could become a Christian. And that's not true. Nowhere in Scripture do we see either a mandate or an example of someone being led in a prayer to ask Jesus into their heart, to accept Jesus. Martin suggested that he hasn't seen me do that, that he's never seen me ask someone if they wanted to accept Jesus. Well, I don't do that. In fact, I tell people the opposite. Because so many people that I talk to are churched and they've heard the phrase, ask Jesus into your heart, I share the opposite with them. I'll tell them, I say, look, Jesus doesn't need your acceptance, you need his. Now, I don't lead people in what's commonly known as a sinner's prayer, because praying a prayer doesn't save anybody. Salvation is entirely a work of Almighty God. God doesn't need our help. We don't cooperate with God in our salvation. God does the saving. And when he saves a person, the first fruits of that salvation will be that the person will turn from their sin, they will repent, and by faith alone they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. But saying this doesn't mean that I don't call people to repentance and faith. In fact, I do that almost every time I share the law and the gospel with someone. One way I do that is to ask the person, is there any reason why you wouldn't turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ right now? Sometimes the person will answer no, and meaning that there's no reason why they wouldn't do that, and so then I will simply encourage them, exhort them to cry out to God and to turn from their sin and to put their trust and their faith in him alone for their salvation. I won't lead them in a prayer. In fact, there was one time out on Brand Boulevard in Glendale when a young man who was reading one of Ray Comfort's booklets, Save Yourself Some Pain, he had heard the law and the gospel multiple times that evening through 2 or 3 hours of open-air preaching. It was during the Ambassador's Academy. No less than 5 of the participants had walked up to him and engaged him in conversation. And here at the end of the night, he's sitting alone, he's reading the booklet, he looks up at me and he says, funny seeing you right now. And so I talked to him and I said, I think his name was Brian or Bryant, and I said, look, you've heard the gospel all night long. What are you thinking? And he told me, he said, look, I know I'm not right with God. I used to go to church. I know I need to repent. I know I need to receive him as Lord and Savior. But I need help, is what he said to me. And I said, you don't need my help. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. If that is truly the condition of your heart, it's only because God has caused that condition to occur. And so I encouraged him to simply cry out to God in repentance and faith. And for the next 10 minutes, this young man prayed the most beautiful, heartfelt, tearful prayer to the Lord that I've ever heard. It was a prayer that I could not have choreographed or orchestrated. It's not a prayer that I would have prayed for him and asked him to follow me in. It was beautiful because it was coming from his heart. Now, was that young man soundly saved at that moment? I don't know. I still don't know the condition of his heart. But what he prayed on his own was more beautiful and more genuine than anything I could have led him in. Jesus called people to repent and believe the gospel. Peter and John called people to repent and believe the gospel. Paul called people to repent and believe the gospel. And so that is what I'll do. I will call people to repentance and faith. And it is entirely up to God whether or not God draws that person to himself and they repent and believe the gospel. You know, it's interesting. When I ask people if there is any reason why they wouldn't repent and believe, and they say no, and I encourage them to do that, oftentimes they'll look around to see who's watching, if their friends are listening, if anyone is watching them or overhearing what's going on. And when I see that happen, that is an indication to me at that moment that the Spirit of God is not moving on that person's heart. Why? Because if the Lord was working on that person, if God was saving that person, a herd of wild elephants could not keep that person from crying out to God in repentance and faith, from turning from their sin and putting their trust in Christ. They could care less what people thought or what people might say, because God was changing their heart, taking their heart of stone and giving them a heart of flesh. So, Martin, and to whoever else might be out there who's listening, to again answer the question, I do call people to repentance and faith, especially those who appear to be humbled by God's law and seem to understand the grace of God and the message of the gospel. I do call them to repentance and faith, but I never ask a person to accept Jesus, because Jesus doesn't need their acceptance, and they don't need me to manipulate them by leading them in a prayer. God does the saving work. Salvation is entirely a work of God. I am merely his ambassador, heralding his message with the hope that God will use the proclamation of his gospel to draw unbelievers to repentance and faith. Well, I hope this has been helpful. And again, this has been an edition of Ask the Lawman. And until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
That was Lawman Tony Lyon. Like I said, Ask the Lawman. And I was asking about receiving, like, to accept Jesus, as people call it. And here is a message from Answers to Genesis.
The Quran, is it different to Genesis? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis. You know, I've been asked, what are some of the differences between the Quran and the Bible's book of Genesis? Well, while it's true that the Quran says that the scriptures Christians use were given by God, there are some major differences between Genesis chapters 1 through 11 and the Quran. For example, the Bible says man was created on earth in the Garden of Eden, but the Quran says that man was created in paradise, not earth. Our Bible says creation happened over six 24-hour days. Now, while the Quran says creation happened in 6 days, they could be interpreted as millions of years. And the Bible says we're saved by grace and not by works, but the Quran says those with a heavy balance of good deeds will attain salvation. Others will abide in hell. So Christians need to know how to defend their faith against false religions like Islam. And knowing the real history of the world, as clearly stated in Genesis, gives us confidence to reach Muslims with the true gospel. As we close out the year, we have a brand new tool for 2010 that's not only striking, but filled with Bible-upholding information. For your donation of any size, we'll send you our 2010 wall calendar. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS. Or get this wonderful wall calendar by going to our website of answersoffer.org.
You're seeing the Truth Be Told radio.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed products. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free products, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the products reviewed may be correct theologically. Also, to participate as a Truth Be Told Radio product reviewer, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you are selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you're a good candidate for this position, please write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and next we're gonna have something from Living Waters University. That's videos that they have from Living Waters ministry to help aid you in evangelism, to help talk to other people about Jesus Christ and what He did for the sins of the world, and but to find that, okay, I looked for, well, since I'm not ready yet, I will have this part from the Doctor Worship. All praise to God.
All praise to God who reigns above. The God of all creation, the God of wonders, power and love, the God of our salvation, with healing balm my soul He fills, the God who every sorrow stills, to God all praise and glory. God's almighty power hath made His gracious mercy keepeth by morning, dawn, or evening shade. His watchful eye ne'er sleepeth within the kingdom of His might. Though all is just and all is right, to God all praise and glory. My calling, for death He gave me life indeed, and kept my feet from falling. For this my thanks shall endless be. Oh, thank Him, thank God, God with me. To God all praise and glory. Christ's holy name, to God give praise and glory. Ye who the Father's power proclaim, to God give praise and glory. All idols underfoot be trod, the Lord is God, the Lord is God.
you, we have a call number at 347, area code 884-9505. 347-884-9505. In case you want to talk about spiritual things, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and now we have a clip from Living Waters University. Like I said before, I found it. It's from Living Water Ministry, and they teach about evangelism. Here we go.
If you've been following the way of the Master, you know that a great question you can ask someone to get to the heart of their conscience is, would you consider yourself to be a good person? Now, a very easy trap that you can fall into with someone is if they say, no, I'm not a good person. In fact, I'm a bad person, or I'm a wicked person. The temptation is to say, oh, they understand their sin, and therefore I can go right to explaining how to find forgiveness of sin. Well, that's not always the case. Watch as this man says that he's not a good person, but when Ray probes a little bit deeper, he begins justifying his sin, saying it's not that bad, and everybody else has done it too. And therefore, he doesn't see sin in its true light, and he needs the same conviction that comes from using the law that everyone else does. That's the only way he'll see his need for a Savior.
So where are you from? Where are you from? Long Beach, sit down. He said, you better sit down because you're too big for me to reach. How tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
6'6". Amici, do you think there's an afterlife?
I do think there's afterlife.
You think there's a heaven?
Yes, I do.
You think you're going there?
I mean, maybe if I change the life I live. Yeah.
So you're living the life that isn't pleasing in God's sight?
To be honest, no. Not at all.
Are you a good person?
Not at all.
So you've broken some of the commandments?
Yeah.
So you've lied?
I've lied. I mean, who doesn't lie?
So you're a liar?
I'm not a liar. I was just saying...
You know, let me ask again. Have you lied?
Yeah.
So what are you called if you tell lies?
A liar. You're right.
Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
Now, you just told me you're a liar. So in your whole life, have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else, even if it's small, irrespective of its value? And God is your witness.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
So what do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer. Right.
Okay. Now, have you ever used God's name in vain?
No, sir.
Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, sir.
Have you had sex out of marriage?
Yes, sir.
That's fornication, so... You're in big trouble on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
A liar, a thief, an adulterer at heart, a fornicator. You know, if God judges you by the Ten Commandments, you've got to be innocent or guilty.
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Does that concern you?
Yeah, it does.
I think you could say it with a little more conviction. It should be, yes, it does. This is your eternity. You go to hell if you die today? I mean, there should be something in you saying, wow, that's the most sobering thing I've ever thought of in my life. You know, if you've got an aneurysm in your sleep or you had a heart attack and you died, then you're damned in hell forever because of your sins. Now, do you know what God did for sinners so that we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what he did?
Yes, sir.
Well, you tell me.
Died on the cross.
Do you understand what that means?
Yeah.
Do you realize the legal implications?
Yeah.
Really? Well, let me give you what I think the legal implications were. Get back to you. In God's eyes, you're a criminal. You've violated his law, the Ten Commandments. God is a judge. You're guilty. His wrath abides upon you, his just wrath. Jesus stepped in 2,000 years ago and paid your fine in his life's blood. That means God can legally dismiss your case. You can walk out of God's courtroom because your fine was paid 2,000 years ago by him who suffered for you and rose again on the third day. Does that make sense? Now, there are two things you have to do to be saved. Do you know what they are?
No, sir.
You've got to repent. That's more than saying, God, I'm sorry. That's where you turn from your sins. You know, stop playing the hypocrite. Stop serving the devil. You turn from sin. And the second thing you have to do is put your trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him alone. We trust brain surgeons. We trust taxi drivers. We trust pilots. You know, we trust a life with a pilot we've never seen. Well, trust God with your eternal salvation. That's what trusting in God means. It's not a belief. It's an implicit reliance on Him for your salvation. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So, there are two things you have to do to be saved. If you die in your sins, you go to hell. Two things you have to do to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
Repent and trust in God.
Trust in Jesus. When are you going to do that?
That's a good question. Don't know.
I'll tell you what will help you figure it out. Get a piece of paper. On one side put serve sin, and underneath that put hell forever. On the other side put serve God, and put heaven forever. And look at it for a minute. Life and death, heaven or hell. It shouldn't take you too long to make your mind up. Come, this is your eternal salvation. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So when do you think you're going to obey God's command to repent and trust the Savior?
To be honest, I really don't know.
What's stopping you?
Myself.
Do you think the devil's got a hold on you? Because it says he blinds the minds of them that believe not. He deceives them. He wants to hold on to you. He wants to take you to hell. Jesus said, the thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So why would you serve the devil and let him take you to hell? To say, forsake your sins. Say, God, my conscience has told me I'm doing wrong. What's wrong with me? God, please help me. And God will help you. If you call upon the name of the Lord, He'll give you a new heart with new desires and give you the power to overcome the sins that so easily beset you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You going to think about this?
Yes, sir.
And the other thought is, you could die tonight in your sleep. So that's why you should obey the command of God. And today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
That was OVC. And Ray Comfort was teaching to him about the gospel. And we're going to see the Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Kentrella. And next, let's see, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. My switchboard is stuck for a little bit. So let's see. I will read something from the Evidence Bible. The Evidence Bible is a version from Ray Comfort. It has a little interesting tidbit in there. And this one says, questions and objections. God made me like this. Sin is His fault. If this won't work in civil court, it certainly won't work on judgment day. You know, with an expert defense lawyer, it would take a pretty inept judge to fall for the old God made me do it defense. We are responsible moral agents. The buck stopped at Adam. He tried to blame both God and Eve for his sin. Eve blamed the serpent. It is human nature to try, but it doesn't work with God. You're seeing Miss Cantrella here on Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see if I could get my switchboard working. Just have to refresh. You're saying Truth Be Told Radio. You can check us out on truthbetoldradio.com. And also we have a page on Facebook. So check that out. To become a fan. And also, let's see. Today, on this episode, March 7th, 2010. Actually won like a contest for I was supposed to go to an Oscar party, like well it's like a call at the viewing party, get to watch it. But instead, I got to go to church today, so that was good for me. And, you know, I have a little discipline. Feel good, because all things work for together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And that's on my wall, so that reminds me. I did get to see a nice wedding with two people that were repenting of their sin and getting married. So just living a married together, and that was really nice and beautiful. Shows the way a different wedding than what maybe someone would do that's not a Christian. I saw a video of that was nice. And their cake was pretty good. Sausage was a little bit weird, but the rest of it was like really good. Especially the inside like filling. Not sure what it was. But it was good. And here now with Truth Be Told Radio, talk to you. And trying to get my switchboard to work. So I have to find something else to read. Here's something from the Evidence Bible again. It's called Questions and Objections. It says, I don't feel guilty. And it says, people often don't feel guilty when they sin because they have seared their conscience. They have removed the batteries from the smoke detector of their conscience so that they can sin without interruption. The way to resurrect a deadened conscience is to go through each of the Ten Commandments, reminding the person that they know that it's wrong to lie, steal, commit adultery, etc. Always preach the law along with future punishment. And pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed books. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free books, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy. Because not all the books reviewed may actually be by actual Christian authors. Also, to participate as being a volunteer book reviewer for Truth Be Told Radio, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you're selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you are a good candidate to be a Truth Be Told Radio book reviewer, write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
Looks like my sign will fade. So I just drifted by that. But it's okay. You're saying Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see, next one I'm going to do something. It's an open air preaching. And it's by a man named Emil Zwayne. It's called Easy. And he is a, I think it's been a while, a Ray Comfort. And here we go. Let's open air from Easy.
Friends speak and you automatically tuned out. Because you said to yourself, you know what? I don't really need to hear this. I'm a Christian. I have a question for you tonight. Are you sure? And are you willing to put your eternity on it? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, done many wonders in your name? And then he said this, but I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here's what that means. That means there are going to be a lot of people who stand before God on the day of judgment who will have thought that they knew God their entire life, but in reality, it's not that they didn't know Him, it's that He never knew them. I cannot think of anything more terrifying than having lived your entire life thinking you were guaranteed to enter God's kingdom and hearing those terrible words from God Almighty, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Friends, let me make it very clear to you today. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And just because you profess to know God, the Bible makes it clear that by your deeds you can deny Him. In other words, you can play the part, you can claim the title, but in reality not be a Christian at all. Some of you in this crowd are saying to yourself, "You know, man, I am a Christian, but it's kind of weird. I really don't find any natural pleasure in the things of Christianity. I try to go to church, I fall asleep, I try to read the Bible, it drives me crazy, I don't understand it. I try to pray, I get bored out of my mind." I have one thing to say to you tonight, don't be surprised. Imagine this. Imagine right now we went looking around here in this little patch of dirt and we found a little caterpillar crawling around. We took this little caterpillar, we put it in a little nice custom-made caterpillar box. We hopped on a plane, flew to New York, got out of the plane, took a cab downtown, went to the Empire State Building, took the elevator all the way up to the top of the building, got out on the roof, opened up that little box, pulled out a little jet-lagged caterpillar, put a nice little tight blue suit on it, a red cape, and a tiny little S on its chest, and then dangled it over the edge of the Empire State Building, and then, for any of you insect rights activists, accidentally let it go. Then we go all the way back down to ground level, come up to what's now splat all over the sidewalk. We raise it from the dead, and then with some imagination and exaggeration, we ask our little caterpillar friend if it had a pleasurable experience being tossed from the top of the Empire State Building. I wouldn't wait around for the answer from that angry little caterpillar that you just tossed accidentally off the Empire State Building. But imagine this. Imagine we take that same creature after it's been transformed into a butterfly. We take it to the top of the Empire State Building and we let it go, and then afterwards we ask it if it had a pleasurable experience, and you're going to get an entirely different answer. It was the time of its life. And why is that? Because it was transformed. The same entity, but it was transformed. And the same is true. You cannot find pleasure in the things of God if you're not a child of God. It's like a caterpillar trying to enjoy a skydive. It's unnatural. Others of you try to change your outward appearance so that you could appear to be a Christian, but your heart hasn't been changed. Right now, if we go down to the local Oscar Mayer pig farm, we pick out a nice pink porky pig, we take it home, throw it in the bathtub, give it a nice little bath, pull out the Bic razor, shave it up, douse it with gallons of cologne and perfume, take it down to the local tuck shop, get it a custom-made pig tuxedo made with a bow tie, a nice big top hat, take it to the dentist, right, get some dentures made for it, take it to the plastic surgeon, do some reconstructive surgery, and then take that little pig home for a gourmet dinner with some special guests of honor. Mrs. Piggy, the three little pigs, Babe, they're all there. Bacon, pork chops, right, the whole spread. Let me ask you a question. You think that pig is going to be concerned about being adorned with a product of fluff? The second you let that pig go loose, what's it going to do? Go right back to the pig pen. You know why? Because it's a pig at heart. And friends, no matter what you do externally, until you are born again, until you repent of your sin and place your faith in Christ, all you'll have to look forward to is an eternity in hell under the wrath and judgment of God. Now some of you standing here say, "Come on, man, I'm a good person. What are you talking about?" Well, what's your standard of measure? See, if I go to the guy smoking weed and I say, "Hey, what are you doing?" Says, "Look, man, I shouldn't be doing this, but hey, you know what, I'm a good person." At least I'm not like that guy over there slamming heroin, the most addictive, destructive drug. So we go up to Mr. Heroin. "How you doing, Mr. Heroin? What are you doing? Look, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm a good person. At least I'm not hurting anyone. He's a rapist." You go to the rapist, he points to the murderer. You go to the murderer, he points to Adolf Hitler or Mussolini. But friends, on the day of judgment, God isn't going to compare you to other people. He's going to compare you to His own standard of righteousness. And the question is how will you fare on that day? So take a trip down memory lane. And think about those times when instead of uttering words of truth, which you knew in your conscience was right to do, you spoke a lie for your own benefit. Or think back on those times when maybe you were in a dark room where you thought no one else could see you. And you were looking at things and doing things that you know you shouldn't have been doing. God was there and He saw it. Maybe you do it in broad daylight. Maybe as you see the guys and gals walking around, you lust after them. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Reel back to those times when that person said something or did something that rubbed you the wrong way and offended you and angered you. Well, guess what? The Bible teaches if you've had unjust anger or hatred towards anyone in your heart, you're guilty of murder. If you've used God's name in vain, you're guilty of blasphemy, and God will not hold you guiltless. And the worst news of all is the Bible says if you've sinned in one point of God's law, you're guilty of the whole thing. It's like dangling from the edge of a cliff to a link chain. Doesn't matter how many of those links stay together. If even one link breaks, you're going down. And so that's how you would stand before God, a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a blasphemer, a murderer. And the judgment for your sin for all eternity is hell. That's the bad news, and that's the truth. But I want to leave you with the good news tonight. Oh, many of you have heard it. You're very familiar with it. The question is what have you done with it? All my life I sat in the church and saw Jesus on that crucifix. Sunday after Sunday. Never understood it until one day my eyes were open and I recognized, wait a minute. He was paying for my sin. This isn't just something that, you know, is a part of a religious concept. It was reality. God became a man. He never had to do it. All he had to do was pour wrath and judgment on us, but he became a man. Can you imagine today becoming a chihuahua to save a breed of ravenous pit bulls and Doberman pinschers that you knew were going to devour you? God condescended even more than that when he became a man to redeem the souls of men and women. Can you imagine that? I don't know how many of you here saw The Passion of the Christ. I'm a pastor. I studied the crucifixion. I taught on the crucifixion. But when I saw that depicted in that movie, I remember shaking my head and thinking, God, why? Why would you do that? I mean, people, think about this. Do you understand how big God is? You know, if we were to hop on a beam of light right now and fly through space at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, in a second and a half we'd be at the moon. In 9 minutes we'd be at the sun, 93 million miles away. If we kept going nonstop, 186,000 miles per second, in 4 years we'd reach Alpha Centauri, which is the star closest to our solar system. But if we started at one end of our galaxy and traveled all the way to the other end, nonstop, 186,000 miles per second, it would take us 100,000 years to complete the journey. There are over 100 billion galaxies with over 100 billion stars in each galaxy, and you don't even want to know how many light years the universe is wide. And the Bible says about God that he spans the universe with his hand. That heaven and the heaven of heavens, the universe, can't contain him. We're a speck of dust upon a speck of dust floating around in a galaxy that's a speck of dust in the universe. And God condescended to become a man to suffer at the hands of his creation and to endure the blasphemies from the vocal cords and the tongues that he created. If that doesn't move you, then you're still dead in your sin. And you must be awakened by God. Friends, God became a man and gave his life upon a cross. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. He said, my Father can send at my age 12 legions of angels to decimate the planet with a breath. I give my life willingly. And when you look at that and you say, wait, I'm a criminal, I sinned against God, I'm a blasphemer, I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm an adulterer, I'm a murderer, and I deserve the wrath of God, and he became a man and died on the cross for a sinful humanity, what love is this? And if you're not moved to brokenness and repentance, then I pray tonight that you think long and hard about what that sacrifice meant. And you recognize that God offers mercy and grace to those who will turn and repent and place their faith in him. Please do that, friend. Don't waste your eternity. You know, there's an interesting parallel between our sin and the way that wolves are typically captured in Alaska. One of the things they do is they take these sharp blades and they dip them in blood and they freeze the blood around the blade. And they continue to do that until this sort of popsicle barrier forms around the blade. Then they stick them out in the snow. The wolves come trotting by. They see the frozen blood. It's a feast of a lifetime. They come up. They start to lick it up like crazy, enjoying every second of it. But in the meantime, their tongue is being numbed as they're licking that frozen blood. And by the time their tongue reaches the blade, it's so numb they can't even feel that their tongue is being shredded. And it's their own blood that they're lapping up. And they end up bleeding to death. And that's what your sin is like. You enjoy it. You take it in with great pleasure. and it's numbing you, and while it's numbing you, it's destroying you, but you don't even know it. Flee from the wrath to come and see the love and the mercy and the grace that is found in Jesus Christ, and let him become to you more valuable than this entire universe.
That was Easy, Emil Zwane. He's related to Ray Comfort through marriage. And you're seeing Trippy Toll Radio. I'm from Moose Kentra, and I see that Guy Reynolds is now with us. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, that was great. I'm glad you played that. I was wanting to play it last week. Couldn't even get on last week to get stuff downloaded. Man, I tell you what, it's been crazy. Blog Talk Radio, especially on the weekends, getting stuff downloaded is impossible. But very glad to be back.
I know. I think it might be your computer because I was uploading some stuff and it did just fine.
Yeah, well, I mean. The show before last was just horrible. And it was, like I said, I hadn't been listening to the show for the past almost hour. I've been coming back from Lexington. As you all may know, I usher basketball and football games at the University of Kentucky. And even though we're not a sports radio station, I can give you the update, you know, that Kentucky did win, indeed, like anyone cares. Anyway, Kentucky did win against Florida, so it was a highlight, but driving back the two-hour drive is sometimes rigorous, but anyway.
I was asking, is that a good thing? No, I don't know what team you want.
We'll also use the fact of me ushering to praying about it. Also use that fact of doing that to pass out tracts to the other ushers. Obviously, I can't do it in the stadium, and they won't allow me to disperse that. But outside the stadium, I can. And also, I got this nice blue suit jacket for the committee to have on, and nice bright blue. So they people say, oh, you know, he must be with something or something. And they'll take the tracks, you know, from there.
Yeah.
But also give me opportunity. A lot of the members of this committee, Committee 101, are either middle-aged to older, veterans, so to speak. And it gives me the opportunity to talk to them before and after games and some nice conversations with some of them about Christ, and some of them, you know, profess to be Christians, and allows me to speak to them, you know, on a different level. You know, I can, you know, it's really, if anyone's ever witnessed an older person, it's very hard to witness an older person. Someone in there, you know, while I say older, I mean seasoned in age, you know, 60, 70, 80, because their heart's not already made up, if they don't have a certain doctrine or belief, then you know, their heart is hardened. So I would definitely say it's a challenge to talk to someone of that age. So, but God has got me there for a purpose to talk to whoever, even if it's one person. But it's the committee 101 is kind of like a club, so to speak. You actually pay dues. Which pay for themselves during the year, but gives you the opportunity to be a part of collegiate sports. And that's the, I think, University of Kentucky is the only college that has that, that have ushers in blue jackets with blue ties and basically dressed up and ushers. And I think we're the only school that has that, which is unique. So, like I said, the main. Go ahead.
Talking about being for a purpose, like I told you earlier, I was supposed to go to, I won a sweepstakes for like to win, if you go see like a viewing party for the Oscars like in Beverly Hills, but it didn't work out. Like nobody could take me, so it was still good though because like, I went to church today and I also got to see a wedding because I didn't even know it could happen. They just said it like in church. They said like, well, if you want to like go to it, it's at 12 like after church. And so I went, first I went to like short, like part to a, it's a choir practice that I would play for like Easter. It's called Behold the Lamb. They have it like every year at the Ramona Bowl in heaven. And then what happened is I went there for a little bit and then I went to the wedding because I wanted to see that. And it was really nice because like I got to video it, like it shows how like is different than usually what the world would have, like talking about, like the way Jesus had, like he himself, like attended, like weddings and how, like the marriage supper lamb had been supposed to be, like a vision of Jesus and the church, like marriage is like kind of like a picture of that, and just it. Had so many different things like that. It was nice. We also got some cake afterwards, and cake was pretty good. Frosting was kind of weird, but like the middle stuff was good. The cake, and it was just nice to see that. Like it was also because the people they were repenting on soon because they had been living together, and they had children and stuff already. But what happened is they became Christian, and then they realized that. That they wanted to make it right by like getting married because that's what God wants them to be like married and you know living like that, and it was nice and it was pretty like the man like he like got choked up and the lady too like she's crying too. It was like it was funny because he was like it's happy because he started like crying.
I bet there wasn't a guy in the place.
Well, I don't know, but still, me, like, I didn't cry, but still, it's just still touching to me. But I thought it was, like, just very nice the way, like I said, like, I was thinking of something, like, they had on YouTube, like, there's these people there, like, dancing down the aisle to some song and stuff, and I'm like, what the heck, that's like, making it a joke. I mean, maybe they just wanted to make it fun, but still, it's like, there wasn't, like, with this thing, it was, like, serious, like, you just see that it's, like, very important thing, and it's, like, held high, like, because, like, even just because of God, like, because the covenant between the two, the man and the wife, and I thought that was very nice that there was that respect there. And so that was good that I saw that today. And I think that maybe that's what God wanted me to do today is just see that and just be a witness, like, of, I guess, like, what God wants between people, either, like, just the church, like, showing, like, how, like, he loves the church and respect and honor and things like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I got some nice piece of cake. So I'm happy like that. I used to do stuff like that. And got some video of it and some pictures. And a lot of people got pictures and stuff too. So it's cool. But I just thought that was good because like, it's funny because I wanted to go to something that was like more worldly and then got had a plan for me to see something that was more about him. So I thought that was cool how that worked out.
I totally agree. Matter of fact, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think that God had that specifically for you to experience and that, you know, if it was his will, you know, I mean, there's been times where I haven't been strong in my faith and I knew it. And I wasn't as mature as I needed to be or prepared as I need to be in any situation like that. and God has taken me right out of it and basically showed me, I'm not going to put you in that situation. I'm not going to. Now, obviously, I could have put myself in that situation. There's no doubt I could have put myself in that situation and compromised my faith, thinking I was ready, but I wasn't. So, obviously, God knows best, and He knows what's best for His children. He puts it in front of us. So, there's been tons of times where I go out witnessing or I go out with the cross and I'm not prepared. And God will pull me back or something will happen with my family and I'll address that. And it turns out that I wasn't spiritually ready to go out and face that, what was about to come. So it's very good that I...
I would have spent like a lot of money just on one night because I wanted those clients and stuff and everything. I would have spent all that money just on that. Just to go out one night. So I think it was good to save me some money. Cool.
So how's that for some prosperity?
Yeah.
How's that for prosperity preaching? God saves you money.
Yeah, I know. It's funny.
Oh, I can already hear the lame sermon illustrations already.
Yeah.
The comparisons to Walmart and all that. I mean, I can, you know, you can compare it to Walmart, all that. It's just sad. It's sad what some pastors will do or churches that will do to try to get their congregation, you know. And watch, if there's anyone listening that's a pastor that tries to be relevant to his flock, so to speak, they go, wow, you know, God saves you money. Yeah, that's what I can roll with. Let's roll with that. Let's all go to Walmart and tell people God can save them money. anything for a draw card, anything.
Yeah, they'd take that, run with it.
You're exactly right. So I'm as sad as it is, it's getting that way in evangelicalism, and sadly enough, it's going to get worse. So be prepared, Christian.
Yeah.
Reading your Bible, not just reading your Bible, but obeying it and praying. It's something that God has taught me just in the past few days, is I haven't been praying enough. And I think one of my fears of not praying to God the way I need to be is that I don't want it to be one-sided. I don't want it to be just a one-sided thing. Okay, God, I'm speaking to you, I'm making all these requests and asking you, but then I don't follow through, or I'm not reading your word in the places you send me to read, whether it's listen to a sermon or just reading scripture randomly, and for that matter, you can't speak to me. And that's probably one of my biggest fear is that God has to. I want God to speak to me through His Word. Obviously, He speaks through situations, but the main thing He does is speak through His Word. And I'm just afraid of having too many wants. God knows my needs. I'm just afraid of having too many wants and coming to Him with so little stuff when there's people out dying going to hell. And that's one of my concerns, and I pray that God humbles me even further to try to continue His work. And I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell all Radio Land, I've been spiritually lazy. And when you get into these depressions, and you know them as well as I do, you get in these depressions, you get in these funks where you're reading the Word, you're trying to soak it all in, and you're praying to God, and you're asking for growth, and then you're not out spreading the gospel, and you're not out doing that. And it has convicted me to the point to where, obviously, there's no excuse. So I've used the weather. You can't use the weather, but I've used the weather as an excuse. You know, cold weather, all that stuff. People not getting out. I don't have a big town. I've used all that, but God needs to use me where I'm at. And so I'm looking to get back into the fold, so to speak, Melissa. So I don't know probably where I've been the past few weeks, and it probably showed two Sundays ago in the show as I read scripture and tried to make the best of a show without any internet. So
with me, like how like about praying, like when you're, you know, wander too much, your brain wanders. I heard there's this like book, but I can't remember what it was called. Like there's some kind of book, like with people like from Way to Master, I think, like where it's supposed to be like so you can read it and then like do things step by step, like without God or like to pray a certain thing or certain way. I can't remember what it's called, and I remember it. I wanted to get it because like I said, my brain tends to wander and stuff like that. And if you just like start doing like a thing, like a list or something, like if you have something to make your brain concentrate, like I think it helps because then you just go through it to so that you, like concentrate on that. I forgot what that book was called. Hopefully I'll think of it later.
Maybe staying focused on what needs to be on the priority, prioritizing things.
Yeah. That
what you talking about, or?
Well, what happens is like you'll start praying and then you, like your brain wanders and you start thinking other things and you're like, no, I want to concentrate on this right now. And then it's like that's what happens. Like it's hard to just like know what to pray for sometimes, and I think I have some lists from church, but then I don't know, I just don't want it to be just a list too. It's like to me sometimes it just seems more like a list a lot of times when I pray.
Yeah.
So I want it to be more than that.
And God, as we let Him, God will work in that. We just have to yield to it and be obedient to it. And that sometimes proves to be the hardest thing is to yield and be obedient to that. Not just sometimes. I'll go ahead and say it is one of the top hardest things to do is be obedient and yield to the Spirit of God when it's trying to work through you. And I think we have doubts that come in our mind, and those doubts cause us to not step to the edge of what He wants for us. And I'm not talking about economic prosperity out there, Joel. I'm talking about His best for us is sometimes the worst that we could think of. But I heard that from John Piper on it. It was a Christian radio podcast, and John Piper was speaking to people probably already heard this. It was last week, I believe, a week before last. John Piper was speaking to prisoners in a prison in I can't remember the state, but
oh, I heard that.
Prisoners that were asking some good questions, and they were asking him, you know, what if Jesus was precious to me only if He could get me out of prison? And the answer was awesome. Is the fact that the reason that they're in prison is the whole reason how God loves you. And I love how he said the enemy can hit you in two ways, with pleasure and with pain. He can hit you with so much pain that you curse him. He hits you with so much pleasure you can forget about him. And,
yeah, I remember that.
I thought that was amazing. Is the fact that you
well,
know,
yeah, what happens too is like they're in that confinement and they actually get afraid to witness to their own, like say their cellmate or something like that, because they know they could be beat up and stuff like that. But I guess if you're true, you should be doing that. If you, no matter what the cost, they should be evangelizing. I know it's hard for me to say because I'm not in that situation, but that's one thing that's why God got them in there for, to evangelize people around there. But I don't know. Never know.
I agree. I mean, that, you know, my buddy Chris, I talk to a lot, he says, he goes, you know what, if you want to find Jesus, just go to prison or go to jail. Apparently everyone found him there. It's a silly thing, but you think about it, a lot of people think, and then they get the jailhouse religion, so to speak, and it's no worse than a false conversion. And unless you realize, you know, what a false conversion is and the fact that you came, there's a motive, a reason and a motive behind it. And saying,
I've had people ask me that before that are not saved. They say, you know, how do you know you're saved? And one of the things is examining your motive. What was your motive in the first place for coming to Christ? Did you want something? What was it driven by? Was it driven by coming to the end of your sins and realizing what you deserved is the wrath of God and that He offers mercy? Was it the humbleness that you came to repentance? Or was there another thing? And yes, there was a time in my life that I had to question that motive, and I realized I was a false convert, and God finally saved me. And I pray that if you're that person tonight, if you just stumbled upon this radio station today, and you're that person that's been churched, like EZ said in that open air, if you didn't hear it, that you've been churched, and maybe you went to the altar when you were a kid for your grandmother, or maybe a wish of a family member, if you went up and you accepted Jesus, so to speak, you think, well, that did it, but you have no desire to read the Word, you have no desire to pray, you have no desire to hang out with Christians or come to church, for that matter, just appeasing your own intellect, you're appeasing your own conscience for the fact of going. I mean, I love Easy's his example of the worm. If you drop off a worm before it becomes a butterfly, or a caterpillar before it becomes a butterfly, you drop it off of a tall building, it's not transformed, it's going to splat. But if it is transformed, it's going to fly away. And if you're not transformed by God today, and you're not a child of His, you're not going to desire these things. And I've had some people say, well, I feel like I'm saved, but I don't have a desire. Well, examine yourself, as the Bible tells us. Examine yourself in light of Scripture, not in light of me, not in light of your own feelings, because your feelings can fool you. As the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart's deceitfully wicked, who can know it? In other words, our heart can be deceitful and fool us. Can't trust our feelings. In light of Scripture, examine yourself. Go to the book of 1 John and go through there. John wrote those things just for that reason. To know so that you can know that you're saved. So examine yourself in light of Scripture and say, am I really saved? And if you're not, get on your knees. Cry out to God in your own words. You have to have any type of model. I'm not talking about a sinner's prayer. I'm talking about any type of model. You use Scripture. Psalm 51 is awesome. It's David's repentant prayer. You can make that your prayer. Read it over and over again and say, wow, I'm not fit to be in front of God. I'm wicked. My mother conceived me. And you ask God to forgive you and get on your knees and cry out to Him. And I just pray that you're going to do that today before your head is to go, because there's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. There's nothing. And my heart goes out to you if you're that person that just went to church all their life and you've been burned maybe by churchgoers. You've been burned by pastors. The people who profess to be Christians, and they're not. The true church is a church that loves. It's a church that reaches out. And I pray that we'll find you a good church if you're not in one. That you'll pray to God and ask Him to bring you to a solid biblical church that's preaching the Word faithfully, that's preaching the gospel faithfully, that's not preaching, it's not teaching just to appease the goats, just to appease the unsaved that come in, just to draw seekers in, that you'll find a church that realizes there's only one seeker, and that's God, and they do all things to please Him, and they do church for the saved, not for the unsaved, because that's what it's for. Church is for the saved, not the unsaved. Obviously, there are unsaved people that come in and get saved. Praise God. There are more false conversions reaped in the churches today because of unbiblical preaching. I pray that you'd find yourself a good church. I pray that you get converted first, you find yourself a solid biblical church that you can grow in, that your family can grow in. Because if you're a father like me, and one of the hardest ministries in your whole life is your family, and I am learning that God has just run me through the ringer of these things, and teaching your family and pastoring, shepherding your family is the hardest thing. It all starts at home. And the church's job is to feed you biblically. You can teach and feed others in your family the Word of God. And as the Bible says in Proverbs, you train the child up in the way it should go, and they will not depart from it. And that's through the Word of God. So I pray, number one, you get converted. Those of you who are listening out there, if you will repent, turn from your sin, but put your full trust in Jesus Christ for the first time ever, the first time you get family saved, find your biblical church, and you lead your family. You're a father, you're a man. Haven't been doing that. Pray that you get up, get out. You fed the Word of God, teach your family the right way, and they will not depart from it. I started going for on that little rant, Melissa, but just something God put on my heart that, you know, I've been thinking about all week, and just the fact of the unbiblical nature of churches right now, that even churches that feel like, well, we feel like we're biblical, and they're not preaching the gospel. If they are, it's not the biblical gospel. It's not. They don't mention sin, righteousness, judgment, hell. They don't mention any of that, it's important to mention that, because I mean, I still hold the heck quote, Melissa, from Johnny Hunt. The good news is not really good until the bad news is understood, and the fact that we need to understand the bad news, and so many people feel that that's damaging. They feel like, well, you're beating them over the head with it. Well, better. I think it's better than hear the bad news over and over again and respond to it. What are they doing with that bad news to realizing that the good news is magnificent when you understand the bad news? Better that than spend an eternity in hell and to hear on the day of judgment from Jesus, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you," and they thought they were saved all their lives. Better now to hear the warnings and to realize that they may or may not be saved than to spend eternity in regret. That's part of the gnashing of teeth in hell. It's the gnashing of teeth of regret. The regret of making the decision, not making the decision to follow Christ fully. And obviously Christ says in the book of Luke, it's all or nothing. Luke 14:26 is one of my favorite verses, and it talks about the cost. You even read to the end of Luke 14 and talks about the cost of following Christ is so great. You lose everything. You'd be willing to lose everything just to follow him and to worship him on this earth, and knowing that we're going to spend eternity with him. It's something great. I mean, it's something that if you haven't experienced or anything like that, then let me go to Luke. And it's such an awesome verse. Counting the cost, Luke 14:26. And matter of fact, I'll just read all the way through Luke 14:26 to the end, to 35. I'll go back to 25 for context, Luke 14:25. "Now large crowds were going along with him." Large, hence the word large crowds. "Now large crowds were going along with him." This is Jesus. Jesus turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Carry his own cross is something we'll get into in just a second. It's amazing. That is verse 28 in Luke 14. "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' For what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000. Or else, while another is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but even salt has become tasteless. With what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear." That's Luke chapter 14 and 26 to 35. And
And the amazing part about carrying your own cross, literally what Jesus was talking about, was being prepared to die for Christ. That's literal what Christ was talking about there. And well, I think all of us have to. I'm not sure you'll agree with Melissa. All of us have to count the cost. And when we see and realize it's two words, it's worth it. It's worth it to follow Christ. It's worth it to die for him. It's worth it to, and the word hate in those verses means to love less. It's worth it to put everything above, put Christ above everything, your family, your mother, your sister, your brother, even yourself, to follow him. I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah, I was reading earlier, like a couple days ago, about, like the part about the him when Jesus went to the cross and things like that, and it said for someone to carry their own cross as the one that's going to be crucified, it was a thing of shame. It was a thing of shame on him to carry your own cross, like, to add that extra the weight to the thing. So I don't know, I thought that was interesting that they said that. So they're putting extra shame on him by telling him to carry his own cross. But then that other guy, that Simon, he had to hold it because he got too weak for it. So that they're thinking that when he got cut up by the cat of nine tails, that made him too weak to carry it, because it tore into their flesh and sometimes even revealed organs and things like that.
Yeah, I read that. I think a couple of weeks ago I read the article in Answers in Genesis from a doctor who basically picked apart and shown the atrophy and everything that Christ went through, the pain, the type of pain he had to go through, how much blood loss and everything. It was just...
Well, the worst thing was is not that he actually went through it, because there's other people that probably went through it, or maybe even more. The thing that he was innocent and he was the sacrifice that he's doing it for the people that he saved, and it was the part that he was innocent was the worst part, that he went through all that stuff.
Yeah, Christ, he was saved, even the fact that he was innocent. Yes, and I mean that. What greater love? And you know, people put it in perspective, and I have to use analogies. I know to people about sacrifice and people giving their life. Obviously, to people that are unsaved, it's foolish. It's foolish that a man would give his life up for someone. And deep down, even though people really, they think they're good people, when they realize they're not through the law, it's foolishness to them that someone would give their life up for them, as unworthy as they would be for that. And that's the measure of grace. That's the measure of grace. Download something. I don't know if you played any of the Ask Lawman?
Oh, yeah, I played the one where it said, about accepting Jesus, but I didn't play the other one. There's another one called Witnessing Christian. I haven't played that one yet.
I guess we could probably take a break, I'd say, if you want to, and we'll come back and we'll play that. That's a tough one, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but the most things I get when I'm out witnessing stuff is from Christians. It's not from non-Christians. And most trouble I get, and because you're not doing this right. I don't like the way you're doing that. So, but the lawman, Tony Mignano, he addresses that. So.
Okay. Here we go with the break. You're seeing Truth Be Told Radio. You can find us also on truthbetoldradio.com.
Hey, if it's true that God's Word is living and active, do you feel it's working in your life right now? Well, James McDonald believes it's up to you. So listen up.
The old covenant was written on stone. The new covenant is written on our hearts. It's inside us. We think it and we feel it and we believe it. It's a real thing that's happening. We're not just going through the motions, church and the check mark and blah, blah, blah. We really believe this stuff. Amen? All right. God has put that into our minds. You couldn't do that for yourself. Okay? So God's like, I don't need any more robots, man. I want hearts from people. It's a covenant of the heart.
Listen Up is a production of Walk in the Word. The whole purpose of Listen Up is to ignite passion in the people of God through the proclamation of truth. Need to get fired up? Go to listenuptoday.org.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Ask yourself who you know who isn't saved. Without the blood of the Savior, the Bible says those people will one day be cast into the lake of fire. How does that make you feel? Does it make you want to reach them with the gospel? If we're lacking the fuels of compassion and gratitude for our own salvation, the task of sharing our faith will become a chore. It'll be a burden.
If our vehicle lacks fuel, we'll have to push it rather than drive it. If we have to push the vehicle of evangelism, it'll be a tiresome task, while driving will be exhilarating. Without the gas of gratitude, our attitude won't be an enthusiastic, I delight to do your will, but a begrudging, I have to do your will.
There goes another minute, gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're listening to Tiffany Pella Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Cantola, and also my co-host is Guy Reynolds. And we're going to play a clip mix from, it's called Ask the Lawman. And he does this on his blog, Tony Miano. And it's on the Lawman Chronicles.blogspot.com, I think. And let's see, you there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you play any of the songs? I'm just curious.
Oh yeah, I played some of the ones from Exalted Worship.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, I'm glad you got to play some of those. Those were some of my favorites.
Yeah, it's from a album called Exalted Worship. I think they have it on WretchedRadio.com. And it's them taking actual Bible verses and putting music to it or just reading it. And it's good because maybe it's one of those things, like I said, they can help concentrate when you're thinking about God and just praying or reading the Bible to reflect on Him about, like, how good He is or holy or whatever. And you want to think, like, have different things on there. Okay, I'm gonna find that one, the Ask the Lawman, and this is on, it's called Witnessing to Christians. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and I'm Alyssa Kenchula, and Guy Reynolds is my co-host.
You're out on the streets, or maybe you're in a department store, and you decide to engage somebody in a conversation. You ask them if they have any spiritual beliefs. They get a big smile on their face and they say, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for many years. Now what? This is Tony Miano with the Lawman Chronicles and another edition of Ask the Lawman. One of the questions that I'm commonly asked is, what do you do in a situation like that? You engage somebody in a conversation, you transition the conversation from the natural to the spiritual, and the person quickly asserts that they are a Christian. Do you take them at their word? Do you go right into the law and the gospel? What do you do? Now, if you're talking to a person who truly is a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, you certainly don't want to come across as doubting their faith in Christ. But at the same time, if I've learned anything being out on the streets for the last several years, is that nobody is a Christian simply because they say they're a Christian. I'll often say to pastors, you see your congregation on Sunday morning, I see them on Saturday night, and they look entirely different. So what do you do? How do you transition a conversation like that? Well, you could ask the person for their testimony, but sadly, many Christians, if not most Christians, particularly here in the United States, if you ask them for their testimony, they're simply going to tell you how their life has improved here in the natural since they made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, since they prayed a prayer or signed their name on a card or started attending a home small group or something like that. You won't hear anything about the gospel. You won't hear anything about sin and repentance. You won't hear anything about the cross. You'll simply hear what the person's life was like before they made a decision and how their life has improved since they've made a decision. You could ask a person if they're born again. Now, that can be an effective way to bring out the truth of their spiritual condition. But in some parts of the country, it is so cultural to be born again, or to use the terminology. There are people out there who think they've been born again 6, 7, or 8 times. So a person can say, oh yeah, I'm born again, I've done that. But still, they may not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what can you do? Well, one thing I like to do is something that I learned from my friend Ray Comfort. And that's to take somebody through a 3 minutes to live scenario. And so if I'm engaged in a conversation with someone and they say, hey, I'm a Christian, and I might say something like this. Okay, let's say I'm not a Christian and you are, and I only have 3 minutes to live, and you know that. What are you going to say to me? Sadly, more often than not, the person will stumble over their words, they'll stammer. Granted, they probably feel like they're being put on the spot a little bit, but more often than not, they're unable to articulate the gospel. They'll simply tell me to tell God I'm sorry, to pray a prayer and ask Jesus into my heart. And I might trip them up just a little bit in a very friendly way. It's not a finger pointing kind of thing, and I'm not out to embarrass them. I'm out to try to determine where they're at spiritually, and even more importantly, for them to be able to determine where they're at spiritually. But I might throw in a question now and again, like, well, why do I need to ask Jesus into my heart? I think I'm a pretty good guy. I believe in God. Or sometimes I'll say, well, I don't believe God exists, but I think something's going to happen next. What are you going to tell me? So I'll let them stumble over their words for a few minutes, and then I'll ask them something like this. What if I came up to you and I said, I know all there is to know about the car engine? And you look at me, you kind of have a funny look on your face, and you say, okay, Tony, go ahead. Tell me all there is to know about the car engine. And I proceed to tell you that I pull up to a gas pump, I open up a door on the side of my car, I stick a hose in the hole in the side of my car, and I start to pump the gas, and the gas goes through a tube, and then it goes up to the front of the car under the hood, and some kind of explosion takes place under the hood, and the car goes. And I'll do just that. I'll stop, and I'll wait for a response. And typically, they'll get this nervous chuckle. They'll get a funny look on their face. And then I'll ask them, if I were to tell you that, would you have any confidence at all that I know anything about the car engine? The obvious answer is no. And as kindly as I can, I look them in the eye and I say, then why should I believe that you're a Christian when you can't tell me how to become one? And then I explain to them that they can't be saved by a gospel they don't know. And then that will lead me into transitioning into the law and the gospel. Often when I get to that point in the conversation, the person is rather humbled. They're left questioning whether or not they truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're questioning what it is that they've come to believe. Look, if a person is truly a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, even if they're not an evangelist or a pastor, even if they haven't been a Christian for a long time, they're going to be able to articulate how they came to faith in Christ. They're going to be able to articulate how they came to a knowledge of their sin and how they repented of their sin and how they put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ alone to save them. They may not be able to articulate all the finer points of theology that go along with the gospel, but they are at the very least going to be able to tell you how they were saved and what they were saved from and whom they were saved from, namely God's wrath. And if they can't articulate the basics of the gospel to you, there really is no reason for you to believe that they are in fact a Christian. Anytime someone says to me, I'm a Christian, I look at that as a cue to share the gospel with that person. And a Christian is not going to be offended by hearing the law and the gospel. The law and the gospel is going to be beautiful to them. They're going to love to hear the gospel because it is the gospel that saved them. And so I hope that's helpful to you. When you find yourself in a conversation with someone who professes to be a Christian, a couple other things, before I go, a couple other things you can do. If they seem to be answering the questions the right way, they seem to be saying all the right things, but yet there's something in your spirit that's just unsettled. There's just something about the person's, the way the person is talking, or maybe what you saw them doing before you engaged them in conversation, that still just leaves you with some doubt as to their spiritual condition. Start to ask them about their walk with Christ. Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you involved in a church? Are you regularly attending church on Sunday? Are you involved in worship? Are you involved in a local assembly? Are you involved with fellowship with other believers? Are you sharing the gospel on a regular basis? If they answer no to most of those questions, then you should see them as a tree that is bearing no fruit. And no good tree bears bad fruit, and no bad tree bears good fruit. Of course, there's going to be some who watch this video and say, Tony, you're being judgmental. No, I'm simply being a fruit inspector, and we're called by Scripture to do that. I recognize that there's only one lawgiver and judge. There's only one who's able to save and destroy, and it's not Tony, it's God Almighty. But if we truly care about people, even those who profess to be Christians, we are going to engage them in conversation to the extent that either they affirm their faith in Jesus Christ and walk away from the conversation feeling more confident, more assured of their salvation, or they're going to walk away from that conversation recognizing that they're a false convert and that they need to repent and put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ alone to save them. So again, I hope that's helpful to you. Try it next time you find yourself in a conversation with someone who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and let me know how it goes. And until the next edition of Ask the Lawman, I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.
That was Lawman Tony Iano, and you can see him, more of him, or hear him at his blog at the Lawman Chronicles. .blogspot.com. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrilla, and my co-host, Guy Rose. And I believe you want to play another clip. This one, forgot the name. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's Jesse. The Ambassador's Alliance, I believe it was last year. Matter of fact, the Ambassador's Alliance is going on now. Just finished, I think, today.
It just
ended today, and I can't remember what number it was, but you can get on Tony Maiano, T-O-N-Y, and then M-I-A-N-O. You can Google that or go to thelawmanchronicles.blogspot.com and check out those adventures up there. And Ambassadors Alliance, you can check that out at ambassadorsalliance.com.
Yeah, it's not too late to sign up.
I think he still says he still has some June and July spots open for that. It's basically street evangelism. If you don't know what that is, you go out on the streets and open air preach. You pass out gospel tracts. You get you out of your comfort zone. What Ambassador Alliance is there for, it's what it's created for. And this clip we're going to play is a guy named Jesse at the Ambassador's Alliance last year. And this is Jesse up on the box and on Hollywood Boulevard. Again, this is Truth Be Told Radio. Guy Rose with Melissa Cantrilla. Here's Jesse. We'll be right back.
the phone with my friend Todd. How did that go?
Todd, he was good. He tried to show me a couple of things or two, but like I said, my beliefs are strong, and I stick to what I believe in. I believe that we all control our own lives, and even after life, we control it.
Now, what do you think is more important, Jesse, what we believe or whether or not what we believe is true?
I think the important thing is to see what makes you feel good. What makes you feel good and makes you feel comfortable, that's what's important, because everybody has a different point of view on it. Some things are important to other people, and some people don't really care for it.
So what if it was important to me to rob, rape, and murder, and it made me feel good?
Well, then you're twisted,
Hang on. You just said that the individual gets to decide that.
Yes, sir,
are you judging me now?
I'm not. I'm just saying that that's not something I would do, and that, yeah, you
But it would be okay for me?
By men, though, by men. You know, us that we're here right now, and what you're doing is, like, clearly wrong, then, yeah, you should be punished. But the whole point of God doing it, that's what gets me.
Okay, well, if you can't determine what good is, and I can't determine what good is, who ultimately determines what good is then? Doesn't it have to come outside of us?
Well, that's the point. I think we are the ones that made the boundaries on what's good and what's bad in this world.
But Hitler thought it was good to kill 6 million Jewish people. Was it good?
It wasn't good, but he did it.
Yeah, but yet to him it was. See, now if you follow your logic and you say each person gets to determine what's good for them, then you can't say what Hitler did was wrong. But you know in your heart, Jesse, you know it was wrong.
I feel like it was wrong.
Of course it was wrong.
But that's a different thing about, that's different from if God is real and God's not. Men make their own choices, and it's up to other men to fight it, I guess. People, that's why we have wars. That's why we have wars in this country. And all of a sudden, when you get into the army, it's okay to kill a person under God's name or whatever, because you're doing it to save people. But I thought killing was bad in the first place. It's just the way that people, the mental status of the person. I think that's what it is. People could be brainwashed to killing all those Jews, all those German people that were killing the Jewish people. They didn't think they were doing wrong because they were taught that what they were doing was right.
And but it was wrong, though.
It was wrong.
Even though they were taught it was right,
yeah.
It was clearly wrong.
It was clearly
how
wrong.
How do you know that?
Because it's morally wrong.
Where do the morals come from?
It comes from your inside.
No, it doesn't. Because Hitler and the Nazis thought it was morally right to rid the world of Jews, and you just said it was morally wrong.
It was.
Well, how do you get to decide that?
Aren't they Christians too?
No, not at all. No, no, a Christian wouldn't do that.
No.
A lot of people do things in the name of God, but that doesn't mean they know God.
That's the point. Nobody can actually know him.
So how did life begin?
Life began with evolution, I guess.
How did it begin?
How did it begin?
Give me some evidence. Prove it to me.
From an organism going into another.
Where did the organism come from?
It came from, though, this world has everything we need to survive. It has oxygen and water.
Where did oxygen and water come from?
It created itself.
How does nothing create something?
Yeah. That's what happens. Like, if you leave...
No. Jesse, you're believing that by faith. What evidence do you have that something comes out of nothing? Okay, Jesse, what I want you to do... There's some grass over there right now, okay? I want you, out of nothing, to create for me a blade of grass.
I can't do that.
Well, why not? Because
it takes time.
Whoa, how am I?
Leaving that grass right there, it would eventually grow.
Jesse, how long, if I had nothing in my hand, how long would it be before something was in my hand?
Whenever you pick something up.
No. I'm not picking anything up. It's going to create. It's going to form in my hand. How long will it take?
Like that.
Whoa, will you... Okay, well...
It's but yeah.
See what you're doing, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm doing, but it's the point. It's just that my...
I can prove to you that God exists. Look at the building that your lovely friend is standing next to, okay? How do you know that someone built that? How do you know?
Because construction workers probably did build it.
Well, how do you know? You weren't there when it was built. How do you know?
There when it was built, but it's standing right there before us.
All right, so you can see it. So the fact that the building exists is evidence for a builder, right?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a beautiful painting?
Yeah, I've seen a beautiful
Or a beautiful mural or something like that?
Yeah, I've seen
it. How do you know that somebody painted it?
Because I probably did it.
Oh, come on. Look, Jesse, I know that neither you nor I painted the Mona Lisa. Yeah. How do we know that someone painted it?
Because it's there.
Yeah. And all you have to do, Jesse, is look around you and see a creation and see that there's a creator. Your eye does in a split second what the most sophisticated camera in the world will never be able to do. You just blinked. You didn't. You didn't tell your eye to do that. Your eye knows instinctively, intuitively, to protect itself by blinking. Hundreds of muscles, hundreds of thousands of light-sensitive cells, giving you the ability to see color, depth, shape, distance, none of which you had to think about. And that didn't just evolve out of nothing. The design of your eye is evidence of a designer.
But yet, look at animals are the same way. Did God create all of them too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Do you believe in evolution?
I believe in microevolution. I believe that species change within a species. I mean, if you see a Great Dane and you see a Chihuahua, those are clearly different dogs, but they're both dogs.
And they're from the same origin.
They're both dogs.
Yeah.
Right? Show me a crocoduck. Show me a crocodile that became a duck. Love to see it.
No, I've seen like a anteater and a zebra mixed.
No, you haven't. That's called Photoshop.
Anyway, I just think this—it's just—it's too much of a leap of faith for me. And
actually, I think it's a bigger leap of faith to think that something exploded out of nothing and became everything, because there's no evidence for it. There's no evidence whatsoever for the Big Bang.
Yeah, there isn't, but.
But you're believing it.
But this universe is just so large, we don't know what's out there.
And the God.
Look at the people that were here before us. Look at what they did with this. Look at the pyramids. Look at all that. How they managed to do that. How did they manage to do all that?
Yeah.
And that was before God, before all that. All the ancient Egyptians and everything, the Mayan people, the Aztec people. How did they all manage to do that?
Jesse, you and I are a speck of dust on a speck of dust. In a solar system that is a speck of dust, in a galaxy that is a speck of dust in a universe. And the God who created all of it not only holds the universe in the palm of his hands, but he holds your life in the palm of his hands. One day you're going to die. It's the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. You're going to stand before him. He's going to judge you in righteousness. And if he finds you guilty because he's good, he's going to punish your sin. And the punishment for sin is eternity in hell. Now, the time to work that out, Jesse, isn't when you're standing before him waiting to get judged. That would be like going into a courtroom and saying, Your Honor, I didn't think I'd get caught. I didn't think the jury would find me guilty. And I didn't think you'd punish me. So I think you ought to just let me go and forget the whole thing.
But like I said before, I always man up to my mistakes. And I say my mistakes. You could ask my mom, but I when I do something wrong,
that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you.
But I admit to what I did wrong, and I take my consequences. If I have to end up in jail,
Do you want to go to hell?
No, I don't want to go to hell. But if that's the outcome of the choice I made, then I'm a man up to it and just take it.
Do you know why you don't want to believe what I'm telling you?
Because I'm stubborn.
Well, that's part of it, sure, and I appreciate the honesty. But it's that you love your sin, because if you believe in the God who created you, and if you believe in the God of the Bible, then you're going to be obligated to submit to his authority, and you don't want anybody to have any authority over you. Jesse, you want to be God.
Well, that's the way I see it. Everybody lives there. Everybody makes their own world out of their own eyes. You make your own world.
But it doesn't make it true.
It doesn't make it true, but you're the only one living it, so it makes it true for you. So that's true enough for me.
So, Jesse, I'm going to let you go. If everything I'm telling you is not true, it's not going to make any difference whatsoever. Right. But if what I'm telling you is true, eternity...
Sitting in hell just thinking, like, damn, should I listen to him? Nah.
You're going to be...
That's too bad. I was just going to be like, that's too bad. It's just,
well, I don't want that for you. I mean, that's why I'm having the conversation for you. It's because I don't want to see anybody go to hell. It's a terrible place of eternal torment, and I don't want to see you or anyone else go there.
Talking to a young man, and I showed them a source of God save advice for now, and also check us out on Facebook and truthbetoldradio.com, and what say anything, guys?
Yeah, just God bless everyone, and everyone stay faithful to the one true God, and I didn't know if you wanted to do yeah, any other party, you can catch me on Facebook, GCREYNOLDS. You can search me on there. Facebook.com/GCREYNOLDS. Also, you can search us on there, Truth Be Told Radio.
Well, we'll be back next week, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Check us out on our archives at iTunes and also on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. This is Melissa Cantrella and Guy Reynolds for Truth Be Told Radio.
Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And don't forget to listen to us next time for more teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.